This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies in for Terry Gross. In pop music, the term one-hit wonder is a mild put-down, suggesting that a performer made only one good tune. Music critic Milo Miles believes that in the case of the 1960s psychedelic rockers Iron Butterfly, their big hit Enigata de Vida was not a typical song of theirs, yet it's come to obscure everything else about the group. Milo says a previously unreleased vintage concert recording should help Iron Butterfly leave a clearer legacy.
Before Led Zeppelin, there was Iron Butterfly. These days, a very misremembered band from Los Angeles. Maybe it was the movie industry all around, but 60s garage rock in L.A. had an expansive, almost cinematic streak. Iron Butterfly were not the most inventive band on that scene, but they became the most famous because of a single, durable, out-of-nowhere hit, Enigata de Vida. The song was 17 minutes long, and the proper thing to do on underground radio stations was to play the whole thing. You've probably heard it bump and rumble in the background sometime, even if you didn't know the name of the song. Enigata de Vida is both Iron Butterfly's monument and its prison. But a new release called Fillmore East 1968 covers two shows from April of that year and provides the best chance in decades for a fresh look at the band. The album offers fascinating reminders of what the rock and roll marketplace was like almost 45 years ago. For one thing, every band, especially those just signed to a major label like Iron Butterfly, were expected to come up with a snappy tune that might get played on top 40 radio. So Low seems to be Iron Butterfly's not wonderful attempt at a pop hit. Even if you make allowances for hippie-dazed lyrics, no one can deny that the serious snag with Iron Butterfly is the feeble vocals. Singer, songwriter, and keyboardist Doug Engel, with his thin tone and melodramatic warbles, can be very hard to take. Another crippling problem was that Iron Butterfly were not a seasoned band. The original lineup fell apart after the debut album was recorded in 1967. The membership on Fillmore East 1968, Engel, bassist Lee Dorman, guitarist Eric Braun, and drummer Ron Bushy, did not last long after the second studio album, In a Gotta Da Vida, and the hit single. The group itself was gone by 1971. Too bad, really. They had a knack for adventurous experimental rock sounds. All the sets on Fillmore East 1968 end with the instrumental Iron Butterfly theme, which is clearly an example of heavy rock done years before Black Sabbath. Partly because In a Gotta Da Vida is easy to satirize, it was blamed for popularizing very bad trends like overly long, rambling jams, tedious drum solos, and grandiose rock in general. But the uncluttered, straightforward versions on Fillmore East 1968 give the epic tune a worthy second hearing. If all the arty blowouts that came in its wake were as cleverly constructed as In a Gotta Da Vida, it might be no more dated and as fondly remembered as, say, Cream's Sunshine of Your Love. And you know, I'm charmed that these performances confirmed Doug Engel was a romantic softy and not a macho growler more typical of the era. Nostalgic fans should pick up the new live set, and the curious should try to hear a sample. Iron Butterfly were not just a joke.
Milo Miles lives in Boston. He reviewed Iron Butterfly, Fillmore East 1968, on the Rhino Handmade label. You can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer today is Fred Snyder. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Roberta Shorrock, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. Our administrative assistant is Dorothy Farabee. Melody Kramer is our associate producer for online media. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.